So we left off yesterday. We're in the middle of trying to understand the sugya of Hezek Sheino Nikar. So we already pointed out that there's machlokes in the Gemara about whether Hezek Sheino Nikar, an unrecognizable type of a Nezek, is that actually chayim in a Torah midrabanan? We passed in that it's only chayim midrabanan, it's only a knas. And we pointed out in Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos as to how exactly define Hezek Sheino Nikar. Is it a function of that the Heftza is not Nikar, the damage is not Nikar in the Heftza, the object? Or do we say no, that the deficiency is in the Maisa Hezek, the Peshasa Hezek, you can't really tell that the damage is happening because there's some piece of information that's not known to you. The example of the person who takes the mouse and puts it onto the Truma, so he is not causing anything that's Nikar in the Peiros. So according to Rashi, that's for sure Hezek Sheino Nikar. According to Tosfos, that's also called Hezek Sheino Nikar because nobody really knows whether the Truma got wet in the first place, whether it was Hukshel or Kabbalah in the first place, which led Rabbi Chana to conclude that if it's Tumas Mashkin, let's say if you take a mouse and put it onto a bottle of wine, so does it need Hechsher? So that according to Tosfos, that would be, in fact, the Hezek Nikar. So we highlighted that Machlokes Rashi does yesterday. Then we pointed out there's a Braisa on Daf Kuf, which speaks about the case of Mechitza Kerem Shenifritza, when the fence between the vineyard and the grain fields falls down, and the person is negligent and he doesn't put it back up again, so he's going to have to pay for the damage because now he caused the other person's grain to all become also because of Kilayim. So it's not clear whether that's a Hezek Nikar or Hezek Sheino Nikar. So that may depend on the Rashi and Tosfos that we spoke about. But it was really that Braisa that got the ball rolling yesterday at the end of the Shir that we mentioned, that Braisa, the fact that I'm chayav to pay for my fence that I was careless and didn't fix. So the Gemara says that's not really a mazik biadayim. That's what falls under the category of what's called dina de garmi. It's a very indirect cause type of a damage. When the Gemara compares it to a case of I burn a document of yours, and now the paper itself was worthless. It was worth a penny, but because you don't have the document, you can't collect the debt. So I indirectly caused you a loss of $1,000. And mechayev anat. So the Gemara is quoted about chalikas that tonight by Meir and the Chachamim. So we have this concept on the one end of Hezek Sheino Nikar, unrecognizable damage, whatever that means. And then we have the second concept of Dina de Garmi, indirect damage. And now the question that the Rishonim raise is, what is the connection between the two? Are they similar? Are they related? Are they unrelated to one another? So the Ramban wrote in an entire kuntras called Kuntras Dina de Garmi. It's about a 20-page kuntras, and then the Echaronim since then have been writing Aras and Asagas on the kuntras of the Ramban. But in the Kuntras, Dina de Garmi of the Ramban, so he raises this question. He raises the question, should we equate these two sugyas? They're almost converging together. On the one end, we're talking about examples of metame, taro, shulchavero, those kinds of things. On the other end, we're talking about burning shtaras, burning documents, not fixing offenses that fell down. Are these really one and the same? So the common denominator between the two is that each one of them falls short because they're not quite a mazik biadayim. The model of mazik b'yadayim, I take a bat, I smash the window of your house, that's a mazik b'yadayim. It's very hard to argue with that. But all of these cases just fall a little bit shy of that. Either because I'm not causing you a direct kind of a damage, or because it's not recognizable the damage I'm doing. All of these are not quite a mazik b'yadayim. And the question is, are they really the same sugya or not? So the Ramban argues that the answer is no. Says the Ramban, there's a reason why Chazal called some of them Hezek Sheino Nikar and other of them Dina de Garmi. Sometimes you can have a case that they happen to be both of them, but not necessarily. What's the difference? What's the fundamental difference? So says the Ramban, very, very long Dushan terminology, says the Ramban, the sugya of Hezek Sheino Nikar, almost similar to Rashi, really lies in the Heftza. It really is a function of I look at the item, I look at the object of supposed damage, I don't see anything. What do you want? I'm not such a spiritually attuned person that I can tell whether something is tummy or tahar. So an average person looks at the fruit, can't see a thing. So therein lies chisaron in the chefza. The chefza ha-nizok is not really nizok, it's not really damaged in the classic sense, like the broken window. On the other hand, says the Ramban, from the vantage point of Maisa Gavra, from the vantage point of the Maisa Adam, of the action was a very direct action. There's no cause and effect here. There's no 15 steps along the way. I took a Dover Tameh with my hands, and I placed it onto your barrel of Truma. You can't get more direct than that. There's no difference between taking a sledgehammer, smashing your window, and taking a dead mouse and putting it onto your Truma. From the vantage point of the Gavra HaMazik, it's the same thing. The difference is between the Dover HaNizok, that in one case the damage is recognizable, broken window. The other case is barrel of apples that are truma. No one can really tell the difference. When we're dealing with sugyas of Dina Degami, Dina Degami is a whole different story. Dina Degami is not a chisaron necessarily in the Davran Izog. It's a chisaron in the Maisa Hezek. That the Maisa is not a direct A to B. Rather, it's through several stages along the way. It's almost like Shabbos, like Grumma devices. That I set up a system, and then all of a sudden, 10 steps down the line, something happens. So to over here, I go ahead and I burn your document. So I did a Maisa Hezek to the document, but the document wasn't worth a nickel that the paper is worth. LOA, I set up a whole chain of events. The chain of events is, next week when you come into Beis Din and you're going to try to collect this chov, Beis Din is going to ask you for the documents, and you're going to say you don't have the document. The other fellow's not going to want to pay you. So it turns out I was mazik your chov. I did something that was mazik your chov, but I wasn't mazik your zechuyos, your shibunim, that which you were entitled to. I was mazik that. And anyone can realize that. Everybody knows. You don't have to be a great tamachachov to realize. If you don't have a document to prove somebody owes you money, it's going to be very hard to collect that money. So that's not necessarily hezek shen on nikur. It's very nikur. I caused the dover ha-nizok. The only problem is, I caused it. I didn't do it directly. I didn't take a sledgehammer and smash your chov. The chov is an intangible thing. I burnt the document, which sets the whole chain of events that you won't be able to collect your chov anymore. So says the Ramban, when we're dealing with that type of a scenario, that is the sugya of Dina Degami. Now, sometimes you can have something that has combinations of both. The case of Mechitza, Keren, Shenifritza may in fact be both. We're holding the person responsible for not fixing the wall. So what is that exactly? So according to at least many Rishonim, that's a Hezek Shen Nikar. Because Kilayim is not Nikar. I can't tell whether the wheat has been infiltrated by the halachic principles of Kilayim. So it's a Hezek Shen Nikar. But it may also be Dina Degami. And what makes it Dina Degami is that what I did is very, very indirect. I didn't take your grain and throw it into the fire. I'm laying in my bed, not listening to the Beis Din, not fixing up the hole in the fence, which in turn is going to cause a whole chagadja that eventually the grain is going to start to grow together with the grapes. And down the line, in a month from now, someone's going to declare, oh, this is also because of Kilayim. So I didn't do anything. I didn't pick up a hammer. I didn't smash anything. It's much closer to the model of Sorev Shtaros or Shechavero, where I didn't really touch the chov itself. So says the Ramban, you can have a given scenario that has aspects of both, that has characteristics of both. But Al-Kol Panim says that about just because you see the words Hezek Shen Nikar don't necessarily translate to mean, oh, that must be Dina Degami. And just because you see Dina Degami, don't think that's Hezek Shen Nikar. You have to always be careful. Are you focusing on the Davar HaNizok or are you focusing on the Gavra HaMazik? Al-Kol Panim, this sugya of Hezek Shen Nikar, we've been talking about the sugya primarily within the confines of Mazik, but now the Gemara begins to take it outside the realm of Mazik, and we have to begin to explore and understand this idea, this notion of, I did something, but it's not quite recognizable with the Rashi's version, Tosa's version. How does that play out in terms of other potential areas, related areas of Dina Mamonis, but not Mazik proper? So much of the discussion revolves around the Gemara in Maseches Gittin. It's the third from the bottom of Gittin, Daftan, Gimel, and Beis. The Gemara is discussing the Machlokes Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan about Hezek Shen Nikar, whether it's Chaim and Atorah or not. And the Gemara quotes the following question. Masiv Rav Papa, Gozol Madbeya V'Nifsal. If I steal a coin from you, so at the time that I stole the coin, it was worth something, but then the coin was disqualified. The country went out of business, whatever it was. The coin's no good. Or Truma V'Nitmeis. Or I stole Truma from you, and then the Truma subsequently became Tameh. Chametz for Avrilah v'Pesach, or I stole chametz from you a week before Pesach. I break into your schnapps store. I steal all your liquor, and then I'm holding on to it. And then after Pesach, I now want to return to you the schnapps. So the common denominator in all three of these cases is a ma'isik zeil. I did. I stole something at the time that I stole it was well worth. It was worth a lot of money, but something has happened. I didn't do anything, but something minachut, something external has happened that has now created a phenomena that the item is no longer worth anything. So what are you going to do with the coin that's been already disqualified? What are you going to do with truma that's tomei? What are you going to do with chametz after Pesach? Chametz over Pesach is also b'hana. So what do you do? So now the Rav Papa quotes a Mishnah that says, Omer lo harei shechol afanecha. What I'm allowed to say to you is a very, very startling thing. I could say to you, I'm about to fulfill the mitzvah that I told him, hey, I'm a very firm person, but I want to perform this mitzvah kedas uchadin. So I stole a coin from you. Here it is. So the nigzol, the person who was stolen from the victim of the theft, is screaming, what do you mean? You stole $1,000 that was value to me. Now you drayed around with it for 6 months. Now the war's over, the kingdom fell, and now the coin's worthless. So what kind of a sheva zegzel shegozol is that? So that's what the Mishnah says. Sorry, omlo resh chofanacha. I could say to him, it's your coin, not my coin. It's your coin, and you have to suffer the loss. Or truma v'nitmeis. If I stole truma from you, and then truma became tamei, so the same thing. And the third case of chametz, I stole you $1,000 worth of schnapps a week before Pesach, and I give it back to you. Motzoi yontif. What are you doing with motzoi yontif? It's chamish over Pesach already. Tough. Harem al harish chalafanecha. So the Gemara challenges this mission, wants to know, why is that so? What kind of a halacha is this? Why should this be so that I could say to you, Aresh Chalfanecha? So the Gemara has the following observation on this Mishnah. The Omras, Hezek Shedo Nikra Shmei Hezek, Hagazlan Hu, Mamona Ma'al Yaboy Shlumei. If Chizkiyah is right, that Hezek she'eno nikar. Now these are cases, at least some of the cases. Let's stick to the case of chametz. Chametz is clearly eno nikar. Nobody in the world could tell whether the schnapps is chametz over Pesach or not. So if you really believe that Hezek she'eno nikar is the same as regular Hezek, it's the tantamount to smashing a person's window, so then what took place here is the item that was stolen was huzak, was nizak. It was damaged. Hagazlanu. So I'm a regular gazlan. I should have to return cash to you. The rule is, if I steal an item from you, let's say I would steal a car and smash up the car to smithereens, so then I can't give you a broken up car that's completely worthless. I have to give you the value, whatever it was, kishasa gazela. So for the fact that the Mishnah is letting you sneak in and just handing back the piece of garbage, handing back the tray for chametz, and just say harish chalafanech and calling it a day. Yes, the Gemara, if you hold like Chizkiyah, that Hezek Shed Anikar is called Hezek, that's very problematic. What we should have said is, according to Chizkiyah, since it's Huzak, since it was damaged, I should have to pay you back the original value. It must be that this Mishnah is supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Because since Hezek Shed Anikar doesn't really exist, there's no such thing as Hezek Shed Anikar. It's a knas with the Rabbanon, if you did it be a dayim, a whole story. But really, fundamentally, mitama cheftza, that's the key word here, mitama cheftza, it's really the same cheftza. Nothing's changed. So then I understand the Mishnah. So the Mishnah that says, the Mishnah's a given. You can't argue with the Mishnah. The Amorim can't argue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in a case of Hezek Shed Anikar, i.e. the case of Chametz, so says the Gemara. If you hold the Rabbi Yochanan, that makes a lot of sense because nothing's changed; it's the same item. So, if you hold like Chizkiyah, so then it's a big problem. And the Gemara actually rejects Chizkiyah because of this kasha. Tiyufta, Chizkiyah is rejected. The Rashbam writes in Bava Basra that sometimes the Gemara uses the phrase kasha, and sometimes the Gemara uses the word tiyufta. Sometimes the sugya will end with either the word kasha or tiyufta. So the Rishonim have a whole discussion about that phenomena. When it says tiyufta, that means the sugya is over. Don't even waste your time trying to find an answer. You're going to go, oh, I'm going to write a shtukul teira to defend the chizkiyah. I'm going to answer the kasha. From the fact that the Amoraim concluded tiyufta, that means it's been completely and totally rejected, and any answer you're going to give is going to be incorrect. When the Gemara says kasha, so some Hashem say kasha means it's a kasha. It's a good question. There are good answers. Why did the Amoraim want it? It was the end of the day. It was the end of the Shia. It was the end of the Zman. They felt they had other things to do. They didn't feel like going to answer every single kasha. So it could be that when the Gemara leaves with a kasha, maybe it's kedai to try to figure out an answer if you can. It better be a good answer. But the word tiyufta, don't even waste your time. So the Gemara uses the magic word tiyufta. It's over. It's done. History. Chizkiyah is rejected. Of course, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. But in order to understand this Gemara properly, we have to understand, what exactly was the tiyufta? What exactly was the problem? What exactly was the irrefutable proof against the Chizkiyah? The Gemara just mixed and matches. The Gemara just mixed apples and oranges. We are learning Bava Kamma. Now, in Bava Kamma, there are really two different parts of Bava Kamma. The first six and the eighth prakim, the first six and number eight, deal with the sugyas of mazik, of damaging. The seventh, ninth, and tenth deal with the sugyas of gezel, of gedev and gezela. They're almost two different mesechtes. There is certain interplay between them, but they're almost two different types of dinim amunis. One is a mazik and izak, one is a gazla and nigzol. Here the Gemara just mixed and matched between the two. We're learning a sugya of mazik. We're learning a sugya of metami tarosa shochavero, and the Gemara is bringing proofs from gezela. Is that a valid comparison altogether? So this is not my problem. This is Tosfos's problem. So Tosfos, on the spot, Tosfos asks the question, get nothing and gimel tema. Hechi medami hocha, the memela, the metame biadayim. Then he, the metame biadayim chayav, hecha the nikbes meim, elea omla resh chalafanecha. So Tosfos says, why are we knocking down Chizkiya so fast? Why is the Gemara refuting and knocking Chizkiya down entirely? I have a gewaltig answer, a very, very simple answer to defend Chizkiya. Chizkiya, who said that Hezek shed a nikr shmei Hezek, was talking about when you did it, the Yadayim. You were mitame, this item. You were menasef, you were ma'ariv, you did it actively, be Yadayim. Maybe then and only then did Chizkiya argue shmei Hezek. Whereas over here, I didn't do anything. I stole the chametz. I put the schnapps into the corner. I'm sitting enjoying my Pesach with my stolen schnapps. I'm not touching the schnapps. A Gazan I am, but not from him, not. So I'm not drinking the schnapps on Pesach. And now after Pesach, I want to give you back the schnapps. The Gemara says, nope, according to Chizkiya, that doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't make any sense? Chizkiya wasn't talking about things that happened by themselves. Chizkiya was talking about Mazik B'Yadayim. Isn't that an obvious distinction? So Tosfos goes on a little bit of an aside to try to show you why they think that's a good distinction. So then finally Tosfos concludes in the third line from the top, V'yei Shlomo, at the end of the line. The Kevan Hezek Shero Niko Shmei Hezek, Yimkein Chashiv like Ilu Nikar, Yimkein Ein Lecha Shinoi Godol Mizeh, V'Konim HaGazman B'Shinoi, V'Tzorech L'Shalim V'Mama Ma'alya. So comes Tosfos and says, the answer to this dilemma is based on the following fundamental insight. There is a basic principle in Hilchos Ganav and Hilchos Gazlan. It's called Shinoi Kona. Shinoi Kona, the Mishnah describes, I steal wood from you, and then I go ahead and I make it into a table, I make it into a piece of furniture. And now I'm caught. What happens at that point? So I have to return to you something. What do I have to return to you? The Mishnah says, I do not have to return to you the wood. I get to keep the furniture, and I have to pay you the value of what the wood cost at the beginning, at the time of the theft. That is a din min haTorah. That's not a din min drabanan. That's a din min haTorah. That's called shinui koina. Since I changed the item that I stole, whether it's wood that was turned into a table, the Mishnah says, or whether it's I stole wool from you and I turned it into a garment, I, the Gazlan, keep the item, and I have to pay you cash, I have to pay the value. If I steal something from you and it wasn't changed, so then I have to give you the item back itself. The only possible quirk is, if I steal a piece of wood from you and I didn't make a shinui on it, I didn't change it fundamentally, I just stuck it as a beam in the top of my house, but it's still the same piece of wood, so that's what the Gemara says, that's not a shinui. So min haTorah, you would have to knock down your whole house and give back the wood. That's a special takaras hachamim, that we don't want to make life too difficult for you, we want to encourage you to be chozer b'tshuva. If we're going to insist that you knock down your whole house, you're probably not going to come forward. So we say to you, listen, you know, just pay the value, mid the rabbanim, and we'll let you go off scot free. But that's not shinui koina. Shinui koina means when I stole the wood and I changed it, I made it into a table, I stole the wool, turned it into a garment. That's called shinui koina. So comes Tosfos and says, if something has been changed in the halachic universe, not in the physical universe, is that called a shinui or not? So, lomdus shaila. Abolish schnapps from before Pesach, before and after. Is that a shinui or is it not a shinui? So if you'd ask me, I'd say, what kind of shinui is that? It's the same bottle. Looks like bottle schnapps. Looks like bottle schnapps. What's the shinui? I understand the piece of wood at a table. So that's clearly different. But a bottle schnapps, just because Pesach has passed over it, it's Chomish of a Pesach, why is that called a shinui? So the answer is it's probably not a shinui. Unless you hold like who? Unless you hold like Chizkiya. If you hold like Chizkiya, who says that Hezek Sheroniko is Shmei Hezek, what that means is that Chizkiya looks at the world of objects through the eyes of the halacha. Shinui is not defined by the people on the street. Shinui is defined by the Torah, by the halacha. So according to Chizkiya, if you have a bottle of schnapps before and after, it's a different bottle of schnapps. Chizkiya is looking at it and saying, that's like a table. That's like a garment. That's a different cheft. That's a different item already. Because Chizkiya has that unique sheet at Hilchas Mazik in the first half of Bava Kama, because his view is that Hezek Shero Nikar is Chayev Min HaTorah, what that basically translates to mean is that Hezek Shero Nikar is a Dovra Meshuna. That's a Halachic Shinoi. Once it's a Halachic Shinoi, then we can extrapolate Tuchos Gezeil, and we could say, well, if you stole something and you made a shinui on it, you can't say Hareshachol Fanecha anymore. Hareshachol Fanecha means that's the same item still. Nothing's happened. I stole something and nothing happened to it. I mean, things happen to it, but not a halachic change happened to it, then we can discuss a reish chol fanecha. But once that's a bad word, shinoi. Once shinoi kicks in, then it's over, then it's history, then it's done. The existence of a shinoi kone, the principle of shinoi kone, supersedes, it trumps the principle of a reish chol fanecha. So the starting point of every goslin is, I stole something from you, I return you the item. I stole an item, just give back the item and finish. What prevents me from doing that is the principle of shinoi kone. Once I'm kone, then all bets are off, then I owe you cash, I don't owe you the item anymore. So that's what Tosa says, that's pshat in this Gemara and Gittin. The Gemara says that if the Mishnah is telling us that you could say Hareish Shechol Fanecha by Chometz, by Chometz over Pesach, that's tantamount to saying that nothing happened to the Chometz, that the Chometz was not Nishtana, it changed and it happened to the Chometz. Because if a change would have happened, you couldn't say Hareish Shechol Fanecha anymore. So wait a second, the Gemara says, if you're telling me that a change didn't happen, that's Chizkiy Rabbi Yochanan talking. That's relevant for Mazik as well. So from the fact that the Mishnah is letting you say Reish Chol Fanecha, this is like a Dina de Garmi, this is like 10 steps ahead. This is a long, long chain reaction according to Tosfos. Since the Mishnah is telling us that you can say Reish Chol Fanecha, that's a proof that it never really underwent the Shinoi. It never underwent the Shinoi. That's supporting Rabbi Yochanan's view in Mazik, and that's rejecting Chizkiy's view in Hilchos Mazik. That's the Raya of the Gemara. Tosfos had to read. Well, I don't know if Tosfos figured this out at 6:45 in the morning. It's a four-step process to try to figure out what in the world that law of the Gemara is. But a kopanim, what now emanates from this sugya, from Tosfos' addition to the sugya, is that the sugya of Hezek Shein Nikar is no longer limited to Hilchos Mazik anymore. Now it begins to take on a significance in other areas of halacha as well. Here we're passing a different shadow now. We're learning Hilchos Gezeilah now. We're talking about a Goslin Shaila. We're talking about ninth Perek of Bava Kamma. And the ninth Perek of Bava Kamma is being impacted by the first Perek of Bava Kamma because the issue of Hezek Nikar and Eino Nikar is really a Kol Tar Kula issue. Is it a Shinui? Is it not a Shinui?
But I don't think, how can you say a Reish Shel Kar? I'm ignoring the fact that I caused you a loss of $1,000.
Right. You said it yourself. I caused you a loss for $1,000. I didn't. That was not a direct loss. I have to pay as a goslin. A goslin makes sure succession goes on. I have to either pay as a goslin or I have to pay as a mazik. Mazik means I take a sledgehammer and break your window. The fact that I took your schnapps and it's sitting in my house and you didn't have the opportunity to sell it before Pesach, that's a grumma de grumma de grumma de grumma de grumma. I wouldn't be chai for that. That's not mazik. The only thing we can hit you for is goslin. So the Gemara says, you're right, I am a goslin. But the Torah says what a goslin does. He returns the item that he stole. You're right. It's a terrible thing in Shemayim. This is a person who's probably not going to get or shouldn't get maftiyona for this activity because he did, quote-unquote, cause a loss. Not every cause of loss has to pay. In Beis Shamata, he doesn't have to pay.
What troubles me is the Torah took its time to say, Veheshev es hagzela asher gozal. The Torah could have said, Veheshev es hagzela. When it says asher gozal, it sounds to me like the Torah is mekaven to this case. It has to be kasher gozal.
Excellent. That's 100% right. But this is asher gozal. You know why it's asher gozal? Because Rabbi Yochanan's right. Because it's the same chefza. Nothing. It's the same thing. Asher gozal. This is what I stole. I stole a baal shnaps. Here is the baal shnaps. 100% right. If I steal wood and now it's a table, it's not a not asher gozal, therefore I have to pay cash. But if it is the same item, daf according to Rabbi Yochanan is the same item, that's exactly why I get off guard. Again, it's not nice, it's a terrible thing, and the guy's chayim to the shemayim, who knows what, but in terms of beis and shamata, point to me a chiyuv. Mazik is not, and gazlan is not. I mean, gazlan he was, but he finished the gazelle, he gave the gazelle back, and he's done.
I'm just not understanding why they understood Chizki as having to make that jump, that it would be considered a shinoi by a
gazlan. Because since Chizkiy is saying that the Torah recognizes this as a davar hanizok, so that's tantamount to saying the Torah recognizes that something has happened here, even though it's not visible to the eye. The Chizkiy standards of whether an item is the same item or not depends on what the halacha says, not what the Baal Matam say. So since Chizkiy accepts that principle of Luchos Mazik, that's tantamount to saying it's not the same item. The reason why you have to pay for Hezek Shein Nikar Min HaTorah is because it's like a broken window. If it's a broken window, that means it's Nishtana, that means a physical change, a quote-unquote physical change has happened. So Achopanim, the theme that's emanating from this entire line, this one cryptic line of a Papa who tells us explanation, is that within the sugya of Gezela, whenever we're dealing with Hilchos Gezela, so the starting point of every Gazan is Veheshev Sekzer Shegozel, return the item. What could prevent me from performing that mitzvah and necessitating me paying cash? Multiple things. The obvious case is, what if the gazelle is not around? Say, I stole an apple for you, and then I ate the apple. So obviously I can't, I share gozo, there's nothing to return. So if the item is literally, physically not around anymore, it's b'chlal gone, so then the Mishnah says, kol gazlon mishama k'shasa gazela. So then the Torah says you have to pay cash rather than return the item that doesn't exist anymore. So that's the ultimate lack of asher gozel. Then you could have another example of lacking asher gozel if a shinui took place. The wood is here, but it's now a table. So once it's a table, halachically it's over. It's not really the same wood anymore. So it's the halach equivalent to the person who ate the apple. So just as the person who ate the apple has to pay cash, whatever the apple was worth at the time of stealing, so too, the person who wants to give back the wood, but the person can say, no, I don't. You don't have to give back the wood anymore, you have to pay me cash. So we have two examples which are lacking in asher gozel, and whenever asher gozel is lacking, then the obligation to pay cash kicks in. So either the item is physically not here, or the item has undergone a shinui. But what the Gemara has also, in effect, told us is that why is it that if something undergoes a shinui, you can't say asher gozel anymore? So the answer is because shinui kone. Because since the Torah says that the gozlan has now acquired the table, once the gozlan has acquired the table, so anytime the gozlan is kone the item, so then he can no longer pass it off on the nigzel anymore and say, Haresha Chalafanecha. So we're going to have to take that principle that just emanated from our Gemara, just that's in between the lines of this Tosfos, and say, wait a second. That may go way beyond Hezek Shedonikar. That may go way beyond Hezek, beyond Shinoi. This is a new principle that we've just extrapolated from the Sugya, that if and when Gazan is Kona, a Kinyan HaGazela prevents Haresha Chalafanecha. So far we learned that if the chefza is not bad, if it's not around, the apple was eaten, that prevents Haresh Chal Fanecha. Shinoi prevents Haresh Chal Fanecha. And a kinyan of any other shape or form, which we don't know yet what those other kinyanim are, but any and every kinyan ha-gazlan can potentially prevent the recitation of Haresh Chal Fanecha, which is going to result in having to pay for cash. So that's going to open up our eyes to a whole new dimension of the sugya. We're going to take now Hezek Shah Nikar and Shinoi Kona and go to the next level, hopefully with the show on Friday, to try to understand what the parameters of that statement are all about and try to touch up some of the less dakudas of the sugya.
Every time you're mazik, in theory, you're also a gazlan, because you're affecting a shinoi.
No. A mazik and a gazlan are not the same thing. In order to be a gazlan, you have to make a kinyan gazela. You have to pick it up and you take it as for the kavanah to become yours. If I just take a sledgehammer and smash a window,
and you affect a shinoi.
Yeah, but that's not affecting a shinoi on somebody's item is not a maisa gazela. That's a maisa hezek. It's only because I picked it up with a machine with kavanah to be gazlan.